such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Good morning, or good evening, or good afternoon.
Good evening, afternoon.
Could be any.
Hello, everybody. Welcome. Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Daniel, Tony, Christina, on this... it should be a very spring-like day, but it's
perfect.
Aren't they predicting snow, I think, here in
for
Chicago?
Tomorrow.
For tomorrow. Snow.
See, you, don't think so? You know why we're paying for February? We had all that nice weather.
We had nice weather, yeah. No, this is a biting cold.
Yes,
I
it
like
is.
It.
I know you do. You like everything that's
gloom and doom.
Painful.
I'm just kidding.
Yes.
Anyway, so we're in the Easter season. Triduum was, we were just talking
it's
about
beautiful.
That. Was,
yeah.
It's always very special, very
it is.
Special. And then the family at the 10 o'clock mass, that the kids were really beautiful, I thought.
So what happened, Father? I wasn't there.
Well, there was a family, the Ahern family.
Ahern.
Sang, and I wanted to see them after the mass, but I went to the back of the church and I missed them. But I thought that was really nice.
Yeah.
Latin.
Yeah.
Did you? How many were in the family?
You know, I can't remember yesterday.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yesterday.
I can barely remember yesterday.
You
and I'm
barely
thinking
remember.
About Sunday.
Oh,
I'm trying
okay.
to, I'm trying to.
You're trying to.
No, I know.
Flashback.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I never heard them sing. Were they supposed to sing on? Wait, did they sing before? I think they have.
They sang the weekend I wasn't here. When I was in retreat.
Ah, okay. Yes, they sing beautifully.
Now you remember.
Now I remember. No, but it wasn't this Sunday. It was like a couple of weeks ago.
It was a few weeks ago. It was, about a month ago.
Now I remember. Yeah, they sing beautifully, Father.
Yeah, very nice. I was really pleasantly.
Is this word? I was kind of caught up in the moment. I don't remember.
You don't remember.
You know, it's like the whole.
The driddle?
Yeah, it's so draining. I was saying this the other day, and even Sunday morning, I was feeling like I got beat up. You know what I mean? It just...
It's the marathon.
Yeah.
It's very beautiful, but it is very dramatic.
It's dramatic.
It's
yeah.
dramatic.
I was telling Julian, and I remember when I was talking to him, Julian, is it just me, or are you like really, really tired? Because he's been, you know, all those days.
Well, I'm glad you said that. I mean,
how about you, Father? You must be exhausted.
Well, because I was, I had all the masses on Sunday, too, and I wasn't going to do it. In fact, I wasn't after the vigil mass. I said I wasn't going to go to the back of the church.
And you did.
Oh, I'm not going to go.
I'm not going to go back because it was late and we get.
You have a nice day.
4:30 in the morning.
And believe it or not, I knew why you did it, but I was thinking to myself, how do I kind of get you away?
Because
I know what Sunday is like. I said to myself,
I saw everybody going back.
Yeah.
To the altar, and then I said, "Where's Father?" I said, "He's probably in the back of the church."
No, it was nice because I used to do that all the time. Now
sure.
it's just too much, and
it's a marathon of masses.
And I'm aware of the fact that we're in between masses, so there's a lot of noise in the back in the vestibule, and then people are coming in to pray in preparation for the next mass, and so it's better that we just maintain the silence. In the church, but after the vigil, I went back there, and it was really nice. But I didn't get back until late, and then on Sunday, and I was really tired. I mean, really tired. And but after the 10 o'clock, I just, you know, I couldn't, because we had a full church.
Yeah, that's something else I noticed. It was full. And
yeah.
As much as I love when everybody's here, there's something about that knowing that it's just the few.
You always say that. You
yeah, and I don't know. It's weird. I feel it's not different for me. You know, it's like every day is the work and right. I'm in it. But it seems that, and I hate to say it this way, because come Easter or come Christmas, it's a full house. And it's right. beautiful, but it's yeah. just like it feels, I don't know how to describe it.
Because anyway. Holy Saturday was packed.
Yeah.
I think it I have not seen the church on Holy Saturday. Cause
on
it's
Holy
a,
Saturday,
it's
right.
a long mass, which I love it. I don't mind. I just It's beautiful. It was a packed church.
Yeah, it was really beautiful. And all of it, but I was going to say, so on Sunday, then after the 10 o'clock, I wasn't going to go to the back either, but I ended up going to the back. And by the time I greet everybody, then it's time for the 12
next
o'clock.
Yes. Yes.
So after the 12 o'clock, I was really, really, really tired. And I thought, well, but I'm going to go back because, see, a lot of those people were coming in. So, you know, I can't go to, you know.
Sure.
I can't
do one and not.
And,
do
I, and I really did want to see because the people and so many people who hadn't been here for a long time mm-hmm. were here. And it was beautiful. But I didn't get done. By the time I got into the rectory, it was 2:45. So if I had gone to the confessional, and usually I'm in the confessional until 3.
Sure.
Because Easter, we didn't have it. So at that point, I was so tired, and went into the 5:30 Mass, and we did do the chaplet after the Mass, but it was just, I was really completely drained. But it was still beautiful. It was mm-hmm. it was still a very beautiful, and then Monday was kind of, the day, the office was closed, but it was a very peaceful day. I was able mm-hmm. to get my letter done for the Divine Mercy Sunday and all that, and yeah, but it's just, but it is now. I feel more tired today than I did yesterday. Yeah. Yesterday was, I think I felt.
Because it adds up. That's what it is. And I think about this all the time with you. You're given the strength to get through that day, but the next day you have to do the same thing. And then that third, fourth day, you start slowing down.
Well, I think certainly the Holy Spirit, but the people also energize you.
Yes.
You
mm-hmm.
know, and it's just, I'd say a Good Friday, you know, it was.
Yeah.
As always, it was, and we had radio that day too.
Yeah. That's right.
Thursday and Friday. I think Thursday night I was more, not, I, it was a little, well, you know, part of it was, anyway, I'm not going to.
You had a busy week and then it's the beginning.
The
so
beginning.
It's like beginning is sort of, it's hard because you're already thinking ahead. What's coming ahead? Yeah,
but the Good Friday was. People said they were so moved.
Yes.
You know, the procession and everything just flowed so beautifully.
Yes, the most
and the music.
The music, the singing is beautiful. And I have to say, the altar boys or the knights of the altar.
Wow. The knights of the altar.
Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful serving.
Julian does a great job in.
That's right.
Choreographing.
Of course,
it, you know.
He was
but they all do a
yeah.
just a
from the little
great job.
Ones
yep.
to the older.
Right.
Boys.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And what was interesting was, and this was really interesting, and because I say, you know, many Catholics have no idea because, you know, these are the three high holy days of the year, and I would say most Catholics have never really fully participated.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I had somebody who after the Mass on Saturday, he said, I thought I was just coming to the Mass, like a normal Mass. He said,
Mass.
He had never experienced
mm-hmm.
the Easter Vigil.
Mm-hmm.
And he was kind of blown away by it.
Yeah, you know, these people, they tend to, Oh, the Mass is too long. Oh, I need it short.
Who are these people that tell you?
I don't know who these people are.
You know those people?
Oh, Father's talk's too long.
Oh, come on.
I'm telling you, when you, this whole, and I guess why I'm feeling so drawn, so tired. It's just, I don't see that. I mean, if anything, it's made me even during the year, I don't like when you talk for 10 minutes or 5 minutes. I want to hear more.
You want to hear
I want to soak up, you know, everything that is at that mass. It's just it's beautiful when you I wish more people knew.
I'm not getting my glasses on. Go ahead.
I wish more people knew what the mass truly is and what, you know, the like the things we talk about here, the background things.
Well, I want to for Divine Mercy Sunday. I was just working on this, but because I really want at least our people to understand, you know, what the mass is and. You know, what is central, and that is the sacrifice.
Because
I don't know that, I think it just feels like it's been de-emphasized in favor of the community or the celebration of the people. But we'll talk about that later. I was trying to, really kind of wrapping my you know, how do you explain the sublime mystery of the faith, because sublime mystery is something we can't fully grasp, but it is, the Mass is the perpetuation of that messianic hour, the sacrifice of being washed perpetually in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus died once and for all. The Calvary isn't repeated. But it is, it's the fount of divine mercy. It's perpetuated because we're being, because we're, what did Jesus, he came to save us from our slavery to sin and death. We've yet to die and we are sinners. And so that salvific and sanctifying grace is perpetuated, renewed, perpetuated, represented mystically in the Holy Mass. And so, when we come to understand that our going there, our entering into that messianic hour, let's say into the Mass, into that messianic hour, we're going to Calvary. And there what? But to renew our covenant with the Lord, to repeat our fiat, our yes. Mm-hmm. To the covenant and to offer our lives in union with Christ to the Father. And as I had asked the people, I had asked the question, who is the only spectator? And we've talked about this many times, but it's God the Father. The principal character is Jesus Christ. And everybody else, we all participate in the drama. The saints in heaven, the Holy Mother of God, the angels, and we the pilgrim people on the way. So anyway, we'll talk about that a little bit more. I was thinking about this as the Eucharistic the year of Eucharistic revival, trying to bring people to understand, you know, what is the nature of and at the heart of Catholic worship, and it has to be the sacrifice. The Holy Sacrament, and you listen to the prayers, the Eucharistic prayers. You know, it's very evident, especially in all of them, but most especially in the Roman Canon, the first Eucharistic prayer, and also Eucharistic prayer number 4, which is really a beautiful prayer. It's long, but it's beautiful. Are you off?
No, I can't hear you, Christina.
Sorry.
Can you hear? Christina? No. Daniel?
No, it's all. Oh, no, it's okay. It's popping in and out. Yeah. Okay.
It's called spiritual warfare.
Right.
Yes. Anyway, let's pray. I was telling Christina, and it, as happens, you know, I feel like I'm unprepared as we enter into the show, but.
Holy Spirit.
It's a little bit awkward, isn't it? I think people can hear fine, but it's just we're not hearing you, so.
Yeah.
But let's.
Yell into it.
Let's pray. Today is the, what did we say, Christina, the fifth day of the chaplet. And we're going to pray instead of the Angelus, but the Regina Celli, because it's Easter.
It just popped.
It's got a defect there, so anyway. Okay. So you should try that fourth. Is that microphone, that mic, is it working?
No.
Two.
Somebody doesn't want me to
Anyway, let's pray, and maybe during the break we can fix that up. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Queen of heaven, rejoice, alleluia. For he whom you did merit to bear, alleluia, has risen, as he said, alleluia. Pray for us, O God, to God, alleluia. Rejoice and be glad, O Virgin Mary, alleluia, for the Lord has truly risen, alleluia. Let us pray. O God, who gave joy to the world through the resurrection of thy Son, our Lord, Jesus Christ, grant, we beseech thee, that through the intercession of the Virgin Mary, his mother, we may obtain the joys of everlasting life through the same Christ, our Lord. And we pray we're in the fifth day of the novena. We did say fifth, right?
Yeah.
So we'll pray the decade of the chaplet. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you expire, Jesus, but the source of life gush forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy open up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world, and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus, as a fount of mercy for us,
I trust in you.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and
forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, God, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit,
the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints,
the forgiveness of sins,
the resurrection of the body,
and life everlasting.
Amen. Amen. And today's the fifth day of the novena. Today, bring to me the souls of those who have separated themselves from the church. Most merciful Jesus, goodness itself, you do not refuse light to those who seek it of you. Receive into the abode of your most compassionate heart the souls of those who have separated themselves from your church. Draw them by your light into the unity of the church, and do not let them escape from the abode of your most compassionate heart, but bring it about that they too come to glorify the generosity of your mercy. Eternal Father, turn your merciful gaze upon the souls of those who have separated themselves from your Son's church, who have squandered your blessings and misused your graces by obstinately persisting in their errors. Do not look upon their errors, but upon the love of your own Son and upon his bitter passion, which he underwent for their sake. Since they too are enclosed in his most compassionate heart, bring it about that they also may glorify your great mercy for endless ages. Eternal Father, I offer you the body and blood, the soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, in atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world, for the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Eternal God, whose mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, look kindly upon us, increase your mercy in us, that in difficult moments we might not despair, nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska,
pray for us.
Saint Michael the Archangel,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, everybody, we're going to take a break. Can you tell? I just feel like I'm depleted of energy.
Oh,
I can feel it in my voice. We're going to take a break and try to recoup energy and get Christina, behaving. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Koska Academy. St. Stan's is an exceptional private elementary school in Chicago, serving preschool, age 3 and 4, pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, and first grades. We incorporate Catholic values and rigorous academic social-emotional learning, Chinese, Spanish, STEM, and more, providing our students with leadership and life skills to transform our world. St. Stanislaus Koska Academy is conveniently located 1 block north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy Expressway. To schedule your tour, visit ststandschicago.org. ststandschicago.org.
I'm Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Koska, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and you are listening to The Winds of Change.
The Eucharist is God's greatest way of showing us that he loves us.
Jesus' love is made present through the Eucharist. He didn't want to leave us orphans. He left us himself in the Eucharist.
Our Lord comes to meet us tangibly because we're not just pure spirit. That's what Catholicism is all about. And in the Eucharist, man, the rubber hits the road.
A journey to the heart of divine love.
La Eucaristía nos trae vida, nos trae esperanza, y nos ofrece la vida eterna.
In the Mass, heaven comes down, and we are actually taken up into this reality.
An encounter with the real presence.
That's where I got light. That's where I discovered the joys and beauties of my priesthood.
The Eucharist is the victory of our salvation. It is what freed us and liberated us from sin and death.
If God can transform bread and wine into his own body and blood, there is no limit to the power of his love.
Jesus Thirsts, The Miracle of the Eucharist. In theaters June 4th, 5th, and 6th. Visit JesusThirstsFilm.com for theaters and showtimes.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Easter. Put your earphones on. See if you, okay, so you and Tony are going to have to share.
Okay.
Right, I'm going to shut you off, okay?
You're done. Wow, it's silent.
Oh, no, that's... I'm on.
I'm back on.
She's back on.
I'm on. Oh, you're on.
Yes.
There you go.
Oh, miracle.
This mic's Father. Playing games with me.
Spiritual battle, you know?
You turned her off.
Anyway. So, you know, did I mention about this book I read when I was in retreat? I read this book. It was written in 1926. F.J. Sheed's book, To Know Christ, Jesus.
Yes.
Did we talk about this? So it really was a nice reliving of the life of Jesus from the moment of his conception in the sacred womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary to his suffering, death, and resurrection, the ascension and the sending of the Holy Spirit. And what it did is reconfirm what I often think, that the story of his life and the wide assortment of characters he encounters, for good or bad, is a story of every generation. And the story is the same, and save Jesus, you know, apart from the Lord, and of course, you know, those who are in heaven, only the characters change. And those characters are you and I. The gospel's rewritten in every generation. There's nothing new under the sun, as the saying goes. But it's only through the experience of the Paschal mystery that our faith journey makes sense. Because life is a constant dying and rising, constant, if we allow ourselves to be animated by the Spirit of the risen Christ. If not for him, we would wallow in depression and desolation, and we'd lose ourselves in idolatries of all sorts to simply survive the blows dealt us in the exile of this world. Now, I say exile of the world because we really are in an exile. But again, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn, but to save. But Jesus said, this is the verdict. The light came into the world, but people chose darkness. They chose not to come into the light for fear their deeds be exposed. So though I speak of the exile, we have a commitment to life in this world. We don't escape, we don't run away, but we're in the trenches, we're fighting the good fight in obedience, in, you know, with a desire to fulfill the will of God, to keep the commandments, and to carry each other through, so to speak. So it's the risen Christ, the Lord calls us into a sacred story, a mission to point others in the direction of the life and light that really transcends the sadness and the sickness and the dyings that are characteristic of our journey. I mean, who of us go through life unscathed? We know with certitude that God spared himself nothing of what we suffer. And it takes work on our part to stay with Christ, who remains with us. Aside from personal challenges to each and every one, we're most definitely passing to a strange time, which is a real test to the faith of many believers. You know, voices and circumstances from all sides seemingly accelerate to shout down our belief and our love for Christ risen, offering alternative ways and alternative means, very much opposed to the narrow path we are called and inspired to walk. I say called and inspired to walk. You know, what keeps us on the narrow path? Because it's not easy. It's not difficult. I mean, it's very difficult. Jesus said, he didn't hold anything back. He said, this is a very narrow path. It's a very difficult path. Few can stay on it. And Peter said, Lord, well, then how can man be saved? And the Lord said, for man it's impossible, but for God all things are possible. But we stay on the path, we deviate, we get back on because we realize that, you know, he is our life, our good beginning, our good end. We choose to stay with him, and he calls us into a discipline. The faith is a discipline, pure and simple. We're called to a very, very high standard, and thank God for that. So my hope and prayer is that, and you know, that we find, or those of, by the way, just a shout out to some people who actually were at Mass who listened to the radio, who came to the Triduum. Oh. So I was really happy to, I was surprised. I don't know, I'm always surprised when I meet mm-hmm. new people who have listened to the radio, you know, because I always wonder why. So,
why?
This is not my gift, you know. And but here we are, and we've been here for a while, for a long time. But anyway, I hope that people find here. I would hope that it would find out on the radio, but certainly in the church, that there is a radical and a credible challenge to the spirit of our age, the spirit of our age, and certainly a counter challenge to the deceptions of the devil. We continue to be guided by the Blessed Virgin Mary, who, as I say so often, is not frozen in the pages of sacred scripture, but very much sharing in the mission of her risen Son, who is seated at the right hand of the Father. The Mother of God has with the assistance of so many people, their support and their assistance and their presence, she's created sacred space that we too, and any who walk through these doors, encounter her Son, very much alive in the midst of us. I mean, mystically, both Mother and Son are present to us in the Word and in the sacrament, and in each and every one who humbly live under the Lordship of Christ Jesus. I mean, blessed are those famous words, blessed are we who believe though we have not seen. Every time we assist in the divine liturgy, we are there mystically at the foot of the cross, and simultaneously, though hiddenly, Jesus feeds us with his living body and blood that we be taken up into his divinity to be Christified, divinized. The challenge to us is to be steadfast and deeply rooted in the mysticism of the church, which really is to be rooted in the life of Christ risen, whose will it is to make his abode in our hearts and thus his kingdom present in this world which is passing away. And so we remain committed to life in this world until we're called away from the exile into the homeland. We're disciples, the disciples of our day, and he is our Lord and Master, our teacher and priest, the victim of sacrifice, holy, pleasing, and acceptable to God the Father. He's all of this for the purpose of our redemption from the binding slavery of sin and the eternal silence of death. So with eyes really fixed on Jesus and bearing our crosses as we make our way to the homeland, we offer our lives to him, and through him that our sacrifice likewise be pleasing to the Father of all souls. So I just want to, you know, as we've entered into this Easter season, just thank everybody for your ongoing generosity to St. Stanislaus Kostka, this sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, through the many, many ways you give of yourselves and your resources, you sustain and maintain the mission entrusted to each and every one who steps through the doors of Our Lady's sanctuary. And it really is, I pray that, and I ask you pray that this place be always a place of encounter with the risen Christ who loves us, who challenges us, and who's called us into the work of confounding the wise of this world, that we be steadfast and persevering in our faith, and that we keep our ears open to the words of the risen Christ, words spoken anew to those who have the humility. It really takes humility to accept him. He says, fear not, have peace, for it is really I, and I will be with you to the end of all ages and well beyond unto eternity. And that's really the good news of the gospel, is that we're never alone. You know, that he says, I go to my Father and your Father there to prepare a place for you, that where I am you will be, but I'm not going to leave you orphans. I will be with you. And that's what we've just celebrated through the Triduum, and as we're now in the Easter season. So that's really the good news, isn't it?
Father, you know, I often think, you know, how you say the story repeats itself with different characters. I always think, which character do you feel like, you know, in the story of?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. I know who I want to be.
Who do you want to be?
I want to be John and Peter.
John, I see myself in Peter.
Do you really?
Yeah, because of Peter had a strong personality, temper. He was rebellious, mm-hmm. but he loved our Lord so much. I relate to that, to Peter.
So that's why I like Peter and John for that reason too. John, because John had the ear of our Lord.
Mm-hmm.
John was a beloved disciple.
And he didn't abandon. He went all the way.
He went all the way to the cross.
To the cross, yeah.
That's right.
Of the cross.
He didn't. And you know, when you speak of Peter, because I love the reconciliation that happens at mm-hmm. the end, before the ascension, where it was during that time the Lord was appearing to the disciples, and because Peter had said, you know, Peter was. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Yesterday on the Monday, Easter mm-hmm. Monday, we had the reading from the Acts of the Apostles, and you see Peter. He's a completely different man.
Yes. He's
speaking,
right?
Completely transformed. Mm-hmm. He's speaking with the authority of Christ. But at the, I like the way Jesus said, because he had denied three times that he knew the Lord, even though Peter said he was going to defend Jesus, you know, to death, and Jesus says, you're going to defend me. I tell you, before this night, before the cock crows, you will three times have denied me, and he did. When he denied him the third time, he heard the cock crow, and he went and he wept. And then after the resurrection, he needs that. He knows what he did, and he needs this reconciliation. He needs to know that he's still in God's favor, in the favor of our Lord. And so when Jesus took him aside, and he said, you know, and it's interesting because he didn't say Peter. He said Simon, son of Jonah. Simon, son of Jonah, son of John, do you love me? And he says, Lord, you know that I love you. He says, okay, feed the sheep. He says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you really, really love me? And he says, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, tend to the lambs. And then he said it again. Jesus said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you really love me? Do you love me more than the rest? And Peter became sad, and he says, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And he says, feed the sheep. And he said, when you were a young man, you went about, you did as you pleased. Now another will come and strap you against your will and take you where you'd rather not go, something to that effect, to signify the kind of death that Peter would suffer. So Peter, who denied him, would go to his death, fulfilling his desire to go to death rather than deny Jesus, because he was crucified, and he had himself crucified upside down. But Peter, you know, he's always putting his foot in his mouth, and he is always trying to impress the Lord. But he was among the 12, mm-hmm. chosen to be the rock upon which he would build the church. That's why he, you know, Simon, I call you Peter, which means rock, because upon this rock I will build my church. So I like Peter for that, because we want to, you know, wouldn't we all want to, Jesus to say to us, you know, hey, do you love me? Do you really love me? I mean, imagine the Lord asking us, each and every one of us, do you love me? And we want to love him. And, you know, we know we miss the mark, and we know that our love is probably rather feeble.
It's imperfect.
Imperfect. Sometimes I say the more I feel that I know God, the more I don't know Him. Mm-hmm. It's this is always a mystery. But imagine if the Lord said, "But hey, do you love me? But do you love me more than the rest? Mm-hmm. You know, I really want to know if you love me more than the rest." I like that. I'd like to hear Jesus speak that to me. You know, because what it does is it communicates something. You know that. That you really, it's that I desire your love. Mm-hmm. I desire you. I need you.
And there's that intimacy. So he's right. Talking to you like you're the only person right. in the world, and you have that bond,
but
connection.
But isn't that,
that's how I
isn't
feel.
That the reality, though?
Yeah, it is for all of us.
If we could all understand that, you know, God loves each and every one of us in a unique and mm-hmm. in a distinct way, you know. So Peter, yes, and John, it's just that because I love John's gospel.
Mm-hmm.
I love the mysticism of John, the deep, deep sense that John has of the person of Christ as Yahweh who's come to us in the flesh. His gospel, he's got the farewell discourse, he's got the high priestly prayer. And Our Lady was entrusted to John, but to all of us. John represents all of us, and he to her, and he took Our Lady into his home, into his heart, and we want to do the same. So,
and to think that he was the youngest one of all.
Yeah, we'd all like to remain young, wouldn't we?
But he was the youngest one, yet he. He persevered, Peter persevered, you know, when he had the transformation, but he didn't give up. This is what we're called to persevere, because we fall, we mess up, I mess up all the time, but the Lord knows that I love him very much.
Right.
We're
always, as Mother Teresa said, you go to confession, a sinner with sin, you leave the confessional, a sinner without sin, right?
Yes.
What about you, Tony? Is there a character?
Well, it's funny as you're talking. I've gotten into, I like Peter, sure, but I think this year especially, I love this Lenten season, because it's always, I guess this season I was more focused on the people. You know, I was the person.
You mean in the story or
yeah,
the people?
Well, the people, just.
In general,
mm-hmm. You know, the people that followed, the people were trying to do good, the people that were trying to live the life. You know, it's like you the way you guys kind of focus on the saints or Jesus. I love to be within the people. You know, it's
what people are
like
talking
the crowd
about?
The
crowd.
Oh,
you know,
crowd.
I try to. You know, you go into the different characters.
Now, there's two crowds. Which crowd are you talking
hopefully
about?
Hopefully, the good crowd.
The good crowd.
You know, the small flock. That's
the
why,
small
again,
flock.
I
okay.
think when
okay.
I think the whole, I tried to be that person that was, you know, the follower of
sure.
Jesus. And I think in doing that, for me, this time, just gave me a different perspective of, okay, this is what Jesus, this is what we need to do. It helps me more to,
right.
you know, it's like, you know, there's people that look at you and say, oh, he's in church all the time, but look at him. Look at him when he's...
Who are these people you're talking about?
These people, they're there.
Those people.
But, you know, it's just like, you know, it's the following. You kind of...
Well, you know, if I can, not to cut you off, mm-hmm. but because I'm trying to understand what you're talking about.
What are you talking about?
But I think what you're saying is we really need each other, and
yes,
we
sure.
and to be that Anawim, the mm-hmm. small flock, there's a great strength and consolation knowing that we're not alone on this journey.
Yeah,
you know, and yet we have a sadness for those who are not who don't know, and this is yeah. the frustration is, you know, if I can but get out of the way, mm-hmm. if I can decrease that he increase, if I can die to myself that he live. Lose myself that he be found, because I find myself more and more doing that because I know I get in the way,
yeah.
and I don't want you want to be that sacrament. Mm-hmm. We're called to be we who partake in the sacramental life of the church. We have to become the sacrament This is the idea that we're Christified, we're divinized, mm-hmm. we're drawn into the life of God, but yet we're very much aware, at least I am, of my defects, my rough edges, my quirks. You know, I always say that when I die, they're going to put on my tomb. He said he was always tired, and then I added, and stressed, always tired and stressed. I wish I could go through a day and not say I'm tired, but it's just like I want to have that perpetual energy, mm-hmm. and you do get depleted. I have to remember that Jesus was depleted as well, and he had to go to the desert, to the top of the mountain, into the wilderness, and he wanted to be alone. And I do find, you know, I certainly do relate to that, because I do find my consolation in the chapel. Before the Blessed Sacrament, it's got to mm-hmm. be before the Blessed Sacrament. There's a radical difference in prayer when you're in the presence of Christ, present to us in the Blessed Sacrament. But it's not about feelings. It's just knowing that he is there, and that he knows me, that he's called me, that he is the source of our strength, our identity, our hope, our peace, our strength. Did I say strength? And that he does love us. That God does love us. If I ask people, you know, try to see yourself through the eyes of God, who created you in His image and likeness, and who didn't spare Himself anything of what we suffer. He suffered everything. He who didn't sin became sin, taking our sins into Himself. But I think, you know, what, to your point, and that's why, you know, even going beyond, okay, you mentioned Peter, and mm-hmm. I said Peter and John, but going beyond that, because certainly we find ourselves in all these characters.
And that's the beauty of it, because as you said it earlier, there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
But it's just that trying to put yourself in that person that's following.
Or you know, the Greeks, what was it last week? I just love that sentence. It was, I think, the Sunday before Palm Sunday, where in the reading, the Greeks went to Philip, and they said, "We'd like to see Jesus."
Mm,
I love that. We'd like to see Jesus, and then Philip went to Andrew, and Andrew went to Peter. I think they all went to, and they said, "Jesus, you know, they're asking to see you. They want to see you," and he said, "The hour has come." But I just love that. We would like to see Jesus. And if we could inspire that quest in the lives of others, that we would like to see God, we'd like to see Christ, we'd like to know, or that people can say, you know, I do hear it from another perspective, people who feel that there's something wrong with them because they don't feel quite worthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to remind them, well, that's none of it. I mean, don't we say that before we receive Holy Communion? We say, Lord, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. Say but only the word, and my soul will be healed. And so it's not good to compare oneself against another, but to know that and also to, in all humility, to acknowledge, you know, that, my faith is not much more than the size of a mustard seed. But as Jesus said, it's sufficient to move the mountain, to keep us, you know, on this path, persevering in humility and surrender.
That's why I see when you get in the story, mm-hmm. you do have these emotions. You know, you do feel, okay, like even in Jesus' crucifixion, I partake in that. You know, partake in that, because when you put yourself in the different, you know, stories or the different characters, then you come up and you say, wow, this is what I do to Jesus every day when I sin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's given me for years now a sensitivity to that, where you almost have to, okay, wait, sit, look what I do to Jesus. Look how he gets spit on. Look how he gets, you know, strapped. And that's why it's hard for me even to, you know, with the passion, when you realize it.
The perpetual crucifixion of our Lord. You know, that's interesting. I'm just thinking about that as you're saying that, because the Mass is a perpetuation of the Holy Sacrifice, but is it not also the perpetuation of our denying.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We abandon. We mock. We blaspheme.
Yeah.
Isn't that a sad reality?
Sure.
In all times in our life, we do that.
Never thought of that. That's mm-hmm. very interesting, yeah.
We do that. But then, it, like I said, when you walk that walk with Jesus, which, again, I love about the Lenten season, mm-hmm. I just, you're fascinated. I think it reminds me of the time when you were in Jerusalem, when we were talking about this, and you were just walking that walk,
right. mm-hmm.
and he was telling, right. I for years now, I've been, you know, just sitting like that and just trying to put yourself in the minds or the, you know, of the people. Because
yeah.
nothing is new. What they did then, they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, today more than ever, and maybe it's due to Scripture, to the readings and things, you see how it's coming around.
Yeah,
the
there's
persecution.
Outright rejection.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's articles. Every day I'm reading something, you know, there's just statistics. I have an article here about the, and I think I mentioned it, but I started reading it again today, thinking I would bring it up on the radio.
We'll get to it.
That we're becoming pagan.
Yeah.
It's not just radical secularism; it's paganism. And what does that mean for the future of this nation and the future of the West? You know, where there's this outright rejection of God, or wanting to recreate God in our image and likeness, or rewrite the laws of God. Anyway, you know, it's fascinating, but let's just take a break, and I want to come back and just read the gospel for today. I think we have time to do that. It's beautiful. It's very beautiful, the encounter with the risen Lord, and just the idea. I was speaking about this last night at Mass, that these people who encounter him are so radically changed. As we saw Peter in the reading, he's a completely different man. He's speaking with the authority of Christ, and you know that so much so. I mean, they're so changed by this experience that they would rather die than deny the reality of Jesus, who has redeemed us, who is very much alive and very much in our midst, even as they too muddle through it all, having had the experience, as St. Paul would speak of himself. You know, so we'll take a final break and come back and just read the gospel of the day, today's gospel, which is really very beautiful. Don't go away. We'll be right back on Father Anthony on Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
The Eucharist is God's greatest way of showing us that he loves us.
Jesus' love is made present through the Eucharist. He didn't want to leave us orphans. He left us himself in the Eucharist.
Our Lord comes to meet us tangibly, because we're not just pure spirit. That's what Catholicism is all about. And in the Eucharist, man, the rubber hits the road.
A journey to the heart of divine love.
La Eucaristía nos trae vida, nos trae esperanza, y nos ofrece la vida eterna.
In the Mass, heaven comes down, and we are actually taken up into this reality.
An encounter with the real presence.
That's where I got light. That's where I discovered the joys and beauties of my priesthood.
The Eucharist is the victory of our salvation. It is what freed us and liberated us from sin and death.
If God can transform bread and wine into his own body and blood, there is no limit to the power of his love.
Jesus Thirsts, The Miracle of the Eucharist. In theaters June 4th, 5th, and 6th. Visit JesusThirstsFilm.com for theaters and showtimes. The Winds of Change. St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, is open 24 hours a day, 7 days per week, for adoration of the Blessed Sacrament in the iconic monstrance. The Blessed Sacrament is reposed during the celebration of Mass and during special events. St. Stan's doors are always open for adoration. Come anytime, day or night. St. Stan's is located 2 blocks north of Division on Noble, right off the Kennedy. Visit ststandschurch.org.
Welcome back, everybody, and happy Easter. The gospel today, I love this gospel. Speaking of characters, you know, in the Bible, but this is Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went away quickly from the tomb, fearful yet overjoyed, and ran to announce. Oh no, this is Monday's.
That was yesterday.
That was today's Tuesday, right?
Yes,
Tuesday.
Okay, so get with the program here. Okay,
it's Tuesday.
Yeah. Tuesday.
Anyway, this yeah, I love this one. I love them all. I like them all. Mary Magdalene stayed outside the tomb weeping, and as she wept, she bent over into the tomb and saw two angels in white sitting there, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Well, they've taken my Lord, and I don't know where they laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus there, but did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" She thought it was the gardener and said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabuni, Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and tell them, I'm going to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and then reported what he had told her. I love that gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So beautiful. And I love the playfulness on the part of Jesus, you know, because he knows who she's looking for, and anticipating her joy when mm-hmm. she realizes that it is Jesus. So, you know, I just love that. Woman, why are you weeping? Who are you looking for? Whom are you looking for? Again, it goes back to the Greeks, right? We would like to see Jesus. You know, that we could, again, inspire. Maybe this is the prayer we need to pray is, Lord, reproduce your life in me in such a way that it will inspire in others the desire for the quest to know you. Because when they come to know you, they're going to love you. And when they love you, they're going to serve you, you know. But it's a beautiful story. And go and tell my brothers, by the way. And that's the other thing, too. You know, I've got to look this up, because I know that in the farewell discourse mm-hmm. of just a few days before, Jesus says, "I no longer call you," he says, "I call you friends," right?
Yes. Yeah. I call you friends.
So I guess through the gospel, does he use the word brothers? I'm not sure. I got to look that up, figure that out. But because we are a wide variety of things. We're disciples. We're sons and daughters. We're servants. We serve. We're brothers. And, you know, God the Father so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, not to condemn but to save and to adopt us into the family, bring us into this family. The great gift before the salvation, gift of salvation, the gift of his mother to solidify, cement the family, father, mother, Jesus, our brother, you know, so the brothers and sisters, tell the brothers, you know, that to go to Galilee mm-hmm. and there I will meet them. But
how does the song go, Father?
No. I'm not, that was beautiful.
Go tell my brothers.
Go and tell my brothers to
go to
Galilee.
Galilea.
We heard that all through in
the
Jubilee year.
Yes. Yeah.
Sometimes I would sing that at the in the homily.
In the
know?
Homily,
yeah.
But what a beautiful. Anyway, but this encounter mm-hmm. changed the disciples so radically, and especially then with the gift of the Holy Spirit, that again they would rather go to death rather than deny him, and so it should be for us as well. All right, everybody, thanks so much for being with us. Happy Easter. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Peace be with you. Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see?